Hi there and welcome to Hume. My name is Darren and today we're going to talk about are you dead or are you alive? Death has always puzzled me, especially the second death where people are cast into the lake of fire but still remain alive and are not dead. So how can it be called the second death when you do not die? And so most of my life I did not understand what this second death was, or in fact what is death. I heard different interpretations, but none of them sat comfortably in my mind because either God's word contradicted it or it did not add up logically. This one night I was at my local home group when during the meeting the topic of death was brought up as an additional discussion to what we were talking about. So I had to ask, what is death? Sure enough, a retired Baptist minister answered the question for me right there and then. He simply said, it is separation. And that was it. Pure and simple, that was the answer. It was amazing, and I tell you what, my eyes lit up and I knew that was the right answer. It did not contradict God's word, and to me, it made perfect sense. Then God spoke to me, and a lot of God's word fell into place. Things which I never understood before now made sense. The problem was I was stuck in a point of view from a certain mindset. So for me, I thought to be dead meant to be completely dead in every way. So the subject of death led me to study the flesh of mankind and why we are subject to the curse of death on earth. I just hope the Holy Spirit will speak to you as he did to me and release your understanding of God and your fleshly body and how it affects many things. Your flesh, who are you? Every person is different, and yet we are all the same, human. There is nothing wrong with being human since God made us that way at the very beginning of his creation. He made us human on this earth for a reason and a purpose. The reason was to rule the earth and multiply, and that is a simplistic explanation. That's in Genesis 1, 26 to 30. Our purpose is to fear or respect God and be obedient to his authority, Ecclesiastes 12, 13. God was very pleased with all of his creation when it was completed on the sixth day, as it was operating in perfect order. Man was in tune with his master, God, and man's whole being was aligned in God, and we were made in God's image. But man did not understand evil because it was after touching the forbidden fruit that God said, man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. But man did understand right and wrong. For example, God gave Adam a command, do not touch or eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Therefore Adam knew not to touch, otherwise he will face the penalty of death. And he also knew which trees he could touch without facing punishment. So man knew right from wrong, but they did not understand or know good and evil. Adam and Eve were in a state of innocence, only having an understanding of what they can and cannot do. Evil is intentionally doing wrong and using wrong motives for one's gain. Man's design was to be walking in the ways of his God and to be in fellowship with him, fulfilling all that he is before God. With man and God in harmony, man was completely under God's guidance and influence. And secondly, his body and mind were in order, functioning in God's order and purpose, a body that was doing what was right without any evil desires. Death is not an occurrence, but a state of one's life. You can choose to live in death or life. It is your choice, as I'll explain soon. Knowing good and evil, then not being able to manage that knowledge, results in us acting in a sinful manner. Sin was introduced by Eve via the serpent who deceived her. The command not to touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil from God personally was given to Adam, not Eve, Genesis 3:17. Then Adam must have told Eve the command after he received it. Therefore, when the serpent came to her with conflicting information, she developed doubts in her mind which caused her to question the information Adam gave her regarding God's command. Adam, who was with her at the time when she ate of the forbidden fruit, also took part eating it, and therefore Adam willfully disobeyed God's command. Once she questioned the situation about God and his statement about the tree, she tempted herself by dwelling on the tree's appealing looks and its offer of wisdom, Genesis 3:6. Her husband willingly went along with it, causing their minds to be opened to good and evil, not right and wrong, remember. Genesis 3:6 and Romans 5:14. At this point, when they disobeyed God, they suddenly went from a state of life to a state of death. So in other words, they died to God. Their whole being had become dead before God. Therefore, they are classified as being completely dead, separated from God on earth and in eternity also. Isaiah 59:2. After this, God caused mankind to return to the ground as dust. Genesis 3:19. Now this may seem a very harsh punishment to us, but God had put a lot of thought into this punishment of death and the curse of death on flesh so that it returns to the ground. In fact, it was so well thought out, we need to thank God for why he put the penalty of death on us. Death was not something that God just did because we were naughty and to teach us a big lesson. So why the punishment of death? Why sentence us back to the earth as dust? God had a plan for us, and part of that plan was to have us die, not just as a punishment, but as a blessing in disguise. God wanted us to be with him, and he knew that the flesh of man was now corrupt, in that the flesh wanted to do its own will and not God's. So God put our bodies to death, so down the track, he could give us a new body that is naturally submissive to him and not rebellious, and therefore we end up going back to him as it was in the beginning of man's relationship with God. It's not a complicated plan, it's a very simple and wise plan, which both benefits him and us in the long run. That is why the death of the saints is a sweet aroma to God. Psalm 116:5, 2 Corinthians 2:15. Our flesh or body now has a problem. With God disconnected from our being, who replaces God in our world? We do. Our body takes over, and whatever it desires, that is the direction it pushes you. It can drive you hard, and it can be very difficult to control. When man sinned, our bodies became like a dog that got off its master's leash, and now it is running all over the place. In the meantime, we struggle to bring it under control. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Our flesh now is its own master, with good and evil desires churning within. Can we really deal with this good and evil now operating in us? Since Adam and Eve's eyes were open to good and evil, mankind has not been able to handle this knowledge at all. Even the best people have moments where they falter with their evil desires coming to the forefront. 2 Samuel 11, 1-27. And yet many of us wish this were not so, feeling so powerless and tired sometimes trying to balance our fleshly desires and bringing them under control. Unfortunately, these days, we make so-called excuses for our habits and who we are. True, we are who we are at this moment of time, and the very core of our character will be the same until the day we die. For example, we all have different talents built in, along with different personalities that make us all unique before God. But who is in charge of these talents and personalities? Not God, but your fleshly body, and it will push you to do things its way. That is why the flesh can never please God all the days of your life, even if you are doing all the right things. Romans 8:8. Why? The Bible says that the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. And so it has been since the day man started calling on the name of God. Romans 8:7 and Galatians 5:17. Even Jesus had to deal with this issue, as the word says that Jesus was tempted in all points as we were, and his flesh would have had at times wanted to do the wrong thing. Hebrews 4:15. If you think that Jesus had it easy with temptations because he was the Son of God, well, think again. Satan, his adversary, and also ours, knows all about tempting, since he has been with mankind from the beginning. He would have known which temptations to throw Jesus' way, temptations that would appeal to him in his mind and in his flesh, Matthew 4:1-11. But thankfully for mankind, he did not falter due to the way he handled his life here on earth before God his Father. Why would God want our bodies in heaven if it is always fighting against his laws and his requests? It is a good thing that God in his foreknowledge planned out a way for us to end up being with him in eternity. In other words, death brings us home. In heaven, we will not have any built-in resistance against our loving God. Also, as part of his plan, he kept Adam and Eve away from the tree of life, which was also in the garden, Genesis 3:22-23. If they had partaken of that tree, mankind would keep on living forever and would have never been able to return to God. The bottom line is, God wanted them back with him without a disobedient body, but given a new body by God after our earthly death. Knowing good and evil is not a sin, because our righteous God knows good and evil. But it is disobedience which is sin before God, Genesis 3:22. Death to life. How? Obviously, we need to reconnect to God somehow, and that somehow has been provided by God himself. Since man has very little self-control, or the power to make himself right before God, regardless of how hard he tries, God has made a way through his Son, Jesus Christ, Acts 4:12. Jesus, who came to earth willingly, came and gave us many examples of what we ought to be doing. And many of these examples are not easy for us to follow. For example, love your neighbor and love your enemies. Spend time in prayer. Do not value worldly goods, just to name a few. Jesus knew this anyway while he was showing us how to live a proper, decent life. So something else had to be done, something that Jesus had to do willingly on our behalf, and that is to remove the curse of death between us and his Father God. Jesus did not obey God once, and therefore was in right standing before God. He was living in the state of life, not death, and then allowed himself to be crucified and be punished on our behalf, Romans 5:8 and 1 Peter 3:8. You see, because we are all dead before God due to our disobedience, we all have to face God on a day when he will judge all of us for our bad choices and ultimately pay the penalty, which is time in hell, and a very long time that will be, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Hebrews 9:27. A time I am sure you would like to spend elsewhere if you are honest with yourself. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died a death of punishment which he willingly took upon himself with his Father's guidance. This punishment was really meant for us in the next life. So now the tables are turned on death, because death cannot touch a person who is in right standing with God, who believes in Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Now this Jesus is Lord and King over all creation, and it is he who has opened the doorway to life for us, John 10:9. And how is this? First, we must accept Jesus as our King and ruler over our whole being, Romans 10:9. In other words, we must be willing to place God once again into our lives and let him be our Lord and God. Once we have done this, we can ask for his forgiveness, which he will do, and therefore we can start right now with a clean slate before God. God can and will forgive us of any wrongdoing we may have done, regardless of the significance in our life or in the life of others that we have wronged. We are so fortunate to have a God who is willing to do this if we are serious about living the right way with God. Okay, so now we have God as King over our life, and he has forgiven us of our wrongdoings. But how do we stop our flesh from bossing us around and to bring our body under control before God? Now this is very important. We must realize that our flesh will always be flesh, and therefore will always want to do what it desires, regardless of whether God is in our lives or not. Galatians 5:17. The core of the person of who we are in the flesh will never change all the days of our life here on earth. The fleshly desires of our core we will carry always, and it will be wanting to take over from time to time, whether it be a short temper, sexual lusts, alcohol, pride. They will attack you when you feel weak and will never stop trying. Our flesh is flesh, and we have to live with who we really are, with our strengths and weaknesses. Once we understand this, it will make our lives a lot easier to manage. Okay, so back to the question I asked before. How do we stop the flesh from bossing us around? We have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master. We have been forgiven of all our wrongdoings, so our guilt is wiped clean. We have God's Word to learn from and to focus on. But this is not quite enough to get the job done. We need help while on the go, not just when we stop and reflect on ourselves and the situations around us when we get a moment. We need training, guidance, advice, correction, discipline while on the front line of life. God has provided for that too. When Jesus left earth and returned to his Father in heaven, he promised to give us the Holy Spirit, who will guide us into all truth and be a great helper. John 16, 7-15 and John 15:26. Once we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, we can ask him for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and have him abide in us as promised by Jesus himself. Therefore, it is the Spirit of God who comes to our aid and helps us during our good and bad moments. He corrects, encourages, guides, advises, gives hope, disciplines and strengthens us as we allow him to do so. In fact, we can make the Holy Spirit joyful, and we can grieve the Holy Spirit by the decisions that we do. Ephesians 4:30. The Holy Spirit will stay with us through thick and thin, whether we triumph or fall flat down. He is always there speaking to us. Now this is fantastic, having a person helping us out 24 hours, 7 days a week. But what does the Holy Spirit want us to do with his guidance and advice? He wants us to renew our minds with the lessons we learn from God. Romans 12:2. This is a vital key for mankind and his relationship with God. Without the renewing of the mind, we will never overcome anything in our lives and never please God or know his will for us. But remember, the flesh can never please God, so what's the go here? Have you ever noticed that nowhere in the Bible does it say, renew your flesh? Unfortunately, your flesh cannot be renewed, never. But it can be trained by the renewing of your mind. Even though Jesus died for you so you can be forgiven of your sins, he never died to take away your sinful body that you live in. Even those who do not follow God can train their bodies via their mind, being renewed with other doctrines. But it is the Holy Spirit who renews our minds with truth and righteousness, whereas the world cannot do this because it does not know God or his ways. John 14:17. The world lives according to the flesh, which is why it is totally corrupt in every way. That is why there is no peace. Mankind has walked down so many roads and none of them have worked. Have you ever noticed that when the Holy Spirit is removed from a person, that it does not take long before the flesh starts having its own way again? Renewing your mind is a combination of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God working together in your mind, bringing about conviction, guidance, hope, and conditioning. 2 Timothy 3:16. Another very important action we must do is spend time with God and reading His Word. If we do not do this, we miss out on so much of the details that God wants us to share with us. And we don't want the Holy Spirit to be constantly reminding us and telling us to read and pray as he tries to get us to obey the first steps so we can move on to the next steps of our journey. So spending time with God is vital to having life and renewal in your mind. Spend time with God in prayer and meditate on the Word of God. And importantly, develop relationships with people who also seek and enjoy God. Without these fruitful practices, you become lukewarm and even die to God. Now that you've heard all of this information, you now have no excuse before God about your state or condition at this point of time in your life. Put God first in all your ways, and He will guide you on a path to take. Allow God to speak to you and be renewed in your mind. Once the mind starts renewing, you can now make better choices when temptations and various other feelings and thoughts begin to battle with you. You now have a better equipped mind thanks to God, which is now becoming more aligned to God's will and purpose. As we all know, we cannot have two masters operating at the same time, because you will always be in conflict with your masters. You will never feel free, because you have allowed yourself to be chained to different desires that serve conflicting masters. Desires obviously you want in your life, and you don't want to let them go, because they all satisfy you in some way, which may be for good or evil reasons. But your body that God created is actually a house for God to dwell in, which helps explain why some people end up demon-possessed when they seek the wrong spiritual help. 1 Corinthians 6:19. This body temple of ours, God asks us to have it separated to Him only, so He can work in and through us. We must separate ourselves from worldly wisdom, lustful desires, demonic doctrines, and worldly treasures. They all corrupt the mind by pulling at the desires of the flesh, which then in turn constantly harass the mind with temptations. So don't put yourself in the same worldly situation time and time again, just to end up in the same rut of guilt, failure, and frustration. God's wisdom of separation is very simple in theory, but hard in practice with some things. So keep your eyes on God, who can give you strength and hope, and has already provided the way for you to escape these situations that come our way. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Remember, who you love the most is the one who you will serve. So who do you love? Which master, God or yourself? There is no in-between with God. It is either all or nothing. And don't fool yourself into thinking that you can serve two masters, because God sees all that you do and He is no fool. Luke 12:13-21. All the words that have poured out of God's mouth will be your best friend or your worst nightmare. He means everything He says. God commands us to repent and turn to Him wholeheartedly. Remember, we have the freedom of choice, but not the freedom to do what we want. Why? If we are allowed to be free to choose to do whatever we want, then why are we punished for acting wickedly? Therefore, we must choose what is right and do it. But you say, God does not stop us from doing evil, so we can do what we want. True. But you're an adult who knows better, so then you'll be judged accordingly in the end and be rejected from continuing a life with God. Managing your body shows God you are serious about your relationship with Him and with other people. And God's not expecting all of us to be perfect. None of us are perfect at managing our bodies. But you must choose now which master you will serve. After all, which master will take great care of you? Which one offers hope, love, wisdom, true freedom, and a lasting friendship? It doesn't take long to realize which master will leave you stranded on the rocks of hopelessness and sorrow. Which will it be, your flesh or God? I hope this helps with your understanding about yourself and God. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I really enjoy learning new things from God, new ways of helping us to grow together, because it's all important that our relationship with God, our relationship with people do grow. It's vital in God's kingdom and also in the new future with God. And I'd like to thank the Tattooed Preacher for the music he has allowed me to use for this podcast. Thank you. God bless. Bye.